And we're joined now by Lisa Wingate. In her book, Before We Were Yours, which was a New York Times bestseller, Lisa fictionalized one of the country's most notorious real-life scandals in the first half of the 20th century. Georgia Tan was director of a Memphis adoption agency, and this agency, this organization, kidnapped and sold poor children to wealthy families all over America. Lisa will be in Baton Rouge tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at the main library, 7711 Goodwood. And Lisa Wingate, this is a story that even today I'm sure people shake their heads at.
Yes, it definitely is. It's one of those stories that you couldn't write it as complete fiction because people would not believe that something like this could happen, that someone could get away with it, that nobody would stop it for decades.
The woman's name was Georgia Tan?
Yes, Georgia Tan was the director of the Memphis branch of the Tennessee Children's Home Society and came into the state of Tennessee after being run out of child welfare in another state for questionable practices. And at the time, Boss Crump had control of Memphis and control of the state of Tennessee, and she comes in and curries his favor, and that gives her everything she needs to perpetrate this crime for essentially generations.
Well, the story is one that has largely been untold. How did you come upon it?
Completely by accident. I had toured a lot in Memphis and even lived near Memphis at one time and had never heard of it, but I just stumbled across it one night when I was up late working on deadline and had the TV playing but the sound off, and came across a TV segment about it. And, you know, I just had so many questions. I wanted to know how does something like that take place, and not hidden. It was very public. I mean, people didn't know the children were being, that a lot of them were being stolen from poor families. They were purported as being orphans, but it was so widely done, and the children were so openly marketed basically as products. And so I just had to know more about it.
How long did it go on?
From 1925 to mid-20s to 1950, basically. And the longer it went on, the more blatant it got. The more public it was, the more blatant it got, the more powerful Georgia Tan was, and the more she liked the fame of it, the money that she was making doing it, the control it gave her over people. She showed all the signs of being a very narcissistic, sociopathic type of personality. And so there was a power element to it, and certainly a money, just a greed element to it, and some social engineering, and some of it was a creature of the time in which it happened. The idea that that because people were poor or not wealthy or not in the best of circumstances, that they couldn't possibly love their children or didn't deserve to have their children, and that those children should be taken and given to somebody who had, you know, all the money in the world to provide for them.
There had to be a market for this. These wealthy families, did they have concerns that at some point they might be caught?
You know, I think a lot of people just who wanted to adopt and who, you know, were in circumstances where they maybe couldn't adopt, you know, maybe they were a little older, or back in those days, if you were divorced previously or whatever, you know, there were a lot of reasons you could not adopt through your standard adoption agencies. And they wanted children, and they just wanted to believe the kind of nice surface story they had been told, which was these are orphans and who need homes. And, you know, so they just took it at face value, even though a lot of people have since told me who had this mm-hmm. as part of their family history, you know, have said, well, my parents, obviously knew they couldn't adopt elsewhere, or my grandparents obviously knew they had been trying to get a baby for years and couldn't get one, and suddenly they could just get one very quickly here. So, you know, sometimes it's just the easiest thing is just to convince yourself of the simplest, most pleasing explanation for something you want.
Well, it's tomorrow night. It's called the After Hours Show with Lisa Wingate at the East Baton Rouge Main Library, 7711 Goodwood Boulevard. She'll speak, and there will be a Q&A and book signing. Her book is Before We Were Yours, about a riveting story regarding these poor kids who were kidnapped and sold to wealthy families. And it is quite a ride from New York Times bestselling author Lisa Wingate. Hope you have a good trip here, Lisa, and thanks for sharing your story today.
You bet. Thanks so much for having me this morning.
Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, East Baton Rouge Parish Library, Lisa Wingate, and a reminder that the library is an underwriter for this program. And John Wirt is still in house. And John, I not only noted at the beginning of the show that it was the 66th birthday of one Marcus Frenchy Cox, but a listener notes that I should mention David Letterman, 72. What a ride he had. Kind of gone away a little bit, though. The last time I saw him, he had this huge beard. And David Cassidy was born on this date in 1950. He died in 2017. And the same listener, Holly in the Garden District, says, you were on the show when he died a couple of years ago. The Partridge Family, we're of a certain age. That was, Friday nights, ABC, 7:30. It came right before Room 222 and right after the Brady Bunch.
Yes.
He was huge, huge, huge.
A show inspired by the Cowsills, a real-life family group, singing group.
Right.
And Susan Cowsill is singing at the Jazz Fest this year, as she often
does. How's that for a segue?
She lives in New Orleans, Susan Cowsill, the youngest Cowsill.
I wonder if she does those old Cowsill songs, The Rain, The Park, and other things. Remember Indian Lake?
Right, that was their biggest hit. She does her own stuff, but she also tours with two of her brothers. There was a huge family, but three of them now go out and tour as the Cowsills.
Well, David Bruce Cassidy, April 12, 1950 to November 21, 2017, died young, 67 years old. He had a real problem with alcohol, but he, in the early 70s, he was the bomb. I mean, they had women who were tearing his clothes off at Madison Square Garden. And Susan Day, who has the same hometown as John Schneider, who was with us last week, Mount Kisco, New York, she was very popular, I think. She was the oldest sister on that show.
A lot of crushes on her, I'm sure.
And some of us had crushes on Shirley Jones, Shirley Partridge.
I heard David Cassidy had a crush on Shirley.
Well, she was his stepmother.
Maybe that's a rumor.
I don't think that would have worked out. But let's not go too far. This is a family program.
Okay.
Thank you, John Wirt. Thank you for listening. We'll be back Monday. Have a great weekend, and stay tuned.